Thank you, Linda and Lydia, for that special music. You know, I was just thinking about Pastor Kevin's retirement, and a year ago, I Noel and I knew already, you know, that he was thinking that kind of stuff, and thought, man, what are we gonna do? It's a lot of mental stress, you know, and with being an elder, I guess Noel and I, it's, you don't always see a lot of physical, do this or do that, but it's more, you know, spiritual and kind of a mental stress. And I thought, well, how are we gonna take care of everybody during this time? We won't have a pastor. Who knows when we'll get a pastor? Will we get a pastor? All those kind of things. But you know, since his retirement in January, it's been great to have the guys that have been filling in, and I didn't have to beg anybody. People just said, "We'll help," and it's been a blessing, and hopefully to everyone here as well. So as we turn, like Mike said, we're just going to start a new chapter here, and you know, he'll be, I'm sure, Pastor John, you know, he's different from us too, but hopefully we've had a little exercise in getting used to some different things. So and this part, I don't find that hard. You know, the worst part of getting ready for a sermon is the week, trying to figure out an idea. That's the hardest part. I don't have a problem coming up here and sharing with you. It's just coming up with ideas. But today, I wanted to kind of remain on the Christmas theme just for a little bit longer with our songs and the message here. You know, really before January and that long cold that we're familiar with sets in and we kind of forget about this season. Things just get so busy. Maybe the rest of your winter will be full of travel and sports or school activities like mine, but or maybe not so much. But maybe the family gatherings, you know, they'll probably be wrapped up by tomorrow or maybe next weekend. But, you know, those memories, they'll stay with us. They'll linger for a while. But the season will eventually change, right? And we kind of move on from there. Things just dictate that. Stuff happens. But they are joyous memories. Hopefully this year he had some good, joyous memories. For some, though, like a good friend of mine, this holiday time is a bit tough this year. A loss of a family member or members over the past, over time, you know, has put the season into a different perspective. This friend of mine has lost both parents and a brother in his life, and it's a little difficult this year. You know, maybe gone might be those days of time with the grandparents, with your parents, with siblings, with cousins and aunts and uncles. Travels to full houses, presents stacked so high the Christmas tree seems small by comparison. Lots of kids running around, heaps of food. The eventual flu to follow after being with so many people in so small a space. Case in point, this. No, this season to some may be a little bit of a downer or hard to look forward to. You know, different thoughts are on people's minds at all. I don't know if I would say maybe a little bit of resentment towards others maybe that don't have the same feelings. Maybe that's too strong, but, you know, the sense of loss creates different feelings in people. So it can be a hard season, which is why I wanted to focus on some of the verses that I picked today. So the 7:14, Isaiah 7:14, I'll read that one. Of course, this is, this might sound familiar. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Here I got a cup, right? It's an empty cup. How do we get rid of the emptiness in something? Got a guess? It's really only one way. By filling it, right? I'm also thirsty, so. Seems simple enough. We have now successfully removed the emptiness. It's full. But notice we didn't focus on the emptiness or focus on removing it. We just removed the empty by filling the cup with water. It's kind of a simple answer, yet it can be profound, especially if we apply that to our life. Question: how did God accomplish salvation? Just think in your minds. How did God accomplish salvation? Was it by removing evil from the world? No, we know that. Salvation came to us through his presence by coming into the world as a babe, by becoming God with us, Emmanuel, by pouring water into our cup, right? Filling us up. God didn't take away our problems or remove them from this earth. That's yet to come. He actually did something better, I would say. He gave us the answer. Hey, he poured the answer into our world that night in the stable. Whole seasons on this. You know, you think back, walk into Hobby Lobby in August? Christmas, right? Already? I suppose you could make an argument that it's maybe they're forgetting the reason, but they're kind of helping towards that reason. But I kind of hope this sticks in your heart and your mind, and that you can think on it long after this day has passed. Okay, salvation is not the absence of sin. Salvation is not the absence of sin. It's the presence of God in your life. Okay, accept Christ in your life. Salvation, okay, through Jesus to the Father. It's not the removing of darkness. Some people's prayers never get answered in the way that they would hope to remove the evil or darkness in their life. Why? I don't know. God's still with them if they're asking. But it's not removing of darkness. It's the shining light of Jesus into the darkness. And by that holy light, the darkness is driven away. Salvation is Yeshua, Jesus. Emmanuel. So, how can we best focus on God? Well, listen as I read from Romans 12. You can open your Bibles too. Mine is the NASB. Romans 12, 9 through 21. There's so much in here, you could dedicate a lot of time to it, but I'm basically going to read it, and hopefully you can think about it and see where we can draw some stuff from. So starting at verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. I saw that a lot yesterday. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is the right Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, I've also seen a lot of these verses kind of get misused. We don't quite want to do that. There is a role for countries and governments to protect its citizens by defeating evil. We certainly want to protect your own family members from wanton evil. So I think there's a case for that. You know, Jesus says, if you don't have a sword, go buy, sell your cloak and buy one for protection, not to attacking, but for defense, protect. But I think just a lot of those things in there teaching us kind of how to live our lives or how we should think about things each day. It's kind of what I'm trying to get at here. Focusing on God. Focusing on the salvation he gives us. And then sharing that with others. The grace that he can give us, that he gives us. You can't fully overcome the darkness, the emptiness, by focusing on the dark. I mean, case in point, look at the news. They love to focus on the dark, right? All the garbage you get in the news. Does that ever help anything? Yes and no. Brings stuff to light. But you don't want to focus on that. You overcome the darkness by focusing on the light. You don't overcome sin by dwelling on sin. I can't get rid of this sin in my life. And you keep focusing on that and on that and on that. It doesn't work. Evil is always bringing up our past sins to trip us up and to cause us to lose focus. You overcome sin by dwelling on God. Okay? Fill that. Bring that into you. Let that fill up the space. You overcome emptiness by dwelling on his presence. Only he can fill the empty. You solve your problem not by dwelling on the problem, but by dwelling on the perfect answer, Jesus Christ. Maybe a bit short for today, but maybe it spoke to you as it has for me. So just join with me in prayer. Lord God and gracious Father, who in the fullness of time you sent your Son to become man, to put on human flesh like mine, and to become my brother. Lord, we thank you for your truth and your goodness in giving us the Savior. May we continue to rejoice at his nativity and look forward to joining him when that time comes. May we behold him in glory and majesty. Amen. Now, if you would, for our remaining hymn, it's hymn 270, Joy to the World. Join me in singing that, and we'll stand as we sing. let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.